Bhagavatam about the importance of understanding and coming in touch with the absolute truth. This is from the seventh canto, chapter 5, text number 31. Natevatu svarthakating hi vishnu durasya ye bahirarthamanina andhayatandarpani amanas te pisatantram urodam nibadha. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords. And they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Purport. Since there must always be a difference of opinion between demons and devotees, Hiranyakasipu, when criticized by his son Prahlad Maharaj, should not have been surprised that Prahlad Maharaj differed from his way of life. Nonetheless, Hiranyakasipu was extremely angry and wanted to rebuke his son for deriding his teacher or spiritual master, who had been born in the Brahmana family of the great Acharya Sukracharya. The word Sukra, spiritual masters, the word Sukra means seven, and Acharya refers to a teacher or guru. Hereditary gurus or spiritual masters have been accepted everywhere since time immemorial. But Prahlad Maharaj declined to accept such a seminal guru or take instruction from him. An actual guru is Shrotriya, one who has heard or received perfect knowledge through the parampara disciplic succession. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not recognize a seminal spiritual master. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success. The word bahi means external. Artha means interest. And manina means taken very seriously. Generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Gurus, teachers who are simply interested in this material world are described in this verse as andha, blind. Such men may lead other blind men without true knowledge of material conditions, but they are not accepted by devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Such blind leaders, being interested in the external material world, are always bound by the strong ropes of material nature. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshram Militam Jena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham krodhva chalang pangun lang hayate grim yat kripa tarham bande shigurum dinatarnam vancha kapati vyasya kripa sinubye vacha paditanam pavane vyo vaishnave vyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar swasri gaur hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram hare ram. So in this discussion on book distribution, I'm going to cover three aspects. Talk about the importance of book distribution, how to effectively distribute more books, and some book distribution stories, always the favorite part. So, naturally, everyone is thinking of their self-interest. Unfortunately, people, because they don't know who they are, they don't know what is their self-interest. So they're misguided. Practically all over the world, people are misguided. They don't know what is good for them. Srila Prabhupada was speaking about this, and he said, if someone loves themselves, then they'll do what is most beneficial for themselves. But if one doesn't love oneself, then they may do things that are harmful for themselves, especially if they don't know who they are. Especially if they don't know who they are, then it's highly likely they'll do things which are harmful to themselves. And this is described as envy. If we do something which is harmful to someone, this is due to envy. Yeah. And this is one of the main contaminations in the material world is envy. And if we do things that are harmful to ourself, Prabhupada explains this is envy of ourself. Yeah. Right? Just like people don't know what is right, they don't know what is wrong. People are eating meat, they're taking alcohol. They don't know that this is harming them. They get a reaction. So they're envious of their own self because of lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he put so much emphasis on book distribution so that people will come to understand who they are and who God is and what is the goal of life. Prabhupada said that an intelligent person will ask three questions. Why am I here? What's the goal of life? What happens at the time of death? So people are so absorbed now in material life. What do they think is their real self-interest? It's described in this verse right here. Sense gratification. This is their goal in life. Get as much sense gratification as they can. But this is also available to the animals. They're eating, they're sleeping, mating, defending. They're getting all this. But are they happy? No. But if someone understands who they are, their spirit soul, that the eternal servants of Krishna, they engage in devotional service, then they can be happy. They can achieve the highest goal of life. So by distributing these books, people are getting the most important information on the planet. Because Krishna's instructions are the topmost. And if you have Prabhupada commenting on these valuable instructions, nice combination. For instance, the knowledge we distribute, these books are not made of paper and ink, but they're made of gold and diamonds. Very valuable books. Priceless. Prabhupada says in one purport that a diamond is very beautiful. And gold, a gold ring is also very beautiful. You put a diamond in a gold ring, it becomes especially beautiful. So Krishna is compared to the diamond. And the pure devotee is compared to the gold. So it's a very nice combination. So that's what these books are that we're distributing. Gold and diamonds. In this way, they become wealthy. There's a statement by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema dana vana vyate daridra jivan. Dasa kore vetana more deha prema dana. That if one does not have prema, love of Krishna in their life, then they are considered to be daridra jivans. Poor souls. Poor souls. So because so few people have any love for Krishna on this planet, there's a lot of very poverty-stricken people on this planet. Even one may be a billionaire. According to this verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's not wealthy. He's poor. But someone may be living in the slums of Bombay, but if they're Krishna conscious, then they're wealthy, very wealthy. So we're trying to help people become wealthy spiritually. This is the satisfaction that everyone is looking for. So this verse, in this verse, Lord Chaitanya goes on to say, therefore, my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service, and all I want, a salary, is love for you. We also want something. But we don't want anything material. Because Krishna says, yehi samasparsaja bhogad dukho yonaya evate. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. Such pleasures, they have a beginning and they have an end. Does anybody want any pleasure that has an end? Raise your hand. Yeah, nobody. We all want pleasure that's going to go on, continue on, increasing, increasing. That's what everybody wants. But in this world, no. It comes to a certain level of so-called pleasure. It's not even really pleasure. It's illusory. It's maya sukaya. It's illusory pleasure, all this sense gratification. It's illusory pleasure. This also comes to an end. So there's no happiness. Prabhupada says in one purport, one should not try to find happiness in a place where happiness is only a myth. It doesn't exist in the material world. So we're trying to guide people to real happiness. We're trying to bring them alive again. There's a very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nehayat karma dharmaya navviragaya kalpate netirta parasevaya jivan api mrtohi saha. If one's work does not bring one to dharma, if one's dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and if one's renunciation does not bring one to a love of Krishna, then one is considered to be dead, although breathing. So what we have on the planet now is a lot of dead people breathing. So we're trying to bring them alive. Just like I could admit to you, I was completely dead spiritually. But then somehow, by the mercy of Krishna, I got a Bhagavad Gita. And that's when I started to rise from the dead. So we want everybody to rise from the dead. Yeah? So that they can experience the joy of spiritual life. Yeah? And that can happen by people reading Srila Prabhupada's books, reading about the Absolute Truth. So important. Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized this so much because a pure devotee is para dukkha dukkhi. Krishna also, when he sees others suffering, then it gives pain. Therefore, Krishna, he says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, etavad janma sapayam dehinam yateyashu prana artha dhyavacha shreya acharanam sada. He says it is the duty, the dharma of all living entities to engage in welfare activities for the benefit of others. It's everyone's dharma. This is a very powerful statement by Krishna. It's everyone's dharma to engage in welfare activity for the benefit of others. So we're all in that category, right? It's the benefit, it's the duty of everyone. So we're part of everyone here. So we should also be thinking of how to help others. And then we also benefit. So what does Krishna say? How does he say we should benefit others? Prana. We should give our life. We should give our life to help others. So many people, they're giving their life to their senses. Practically everybody, they're dedicating their life to satisfy the senses. And they die a horrible, like an animal. No knowledge, no understanding, no devotion to God, like the animals. So we want people to leave this world thinking of Krishna, having an understanding of who they are, who God is. The human form of life, it's a great boon. Nayang deho dehabajam naloke kastam kaman arhate vidbujanye tapo divyang putuka yena satvam sudyajyasmad brahmasokyam tvanantam. This is a very famous verse by Lord Rishabhdev. He says, of persons who have accepted material bodies, those who have accepted the human form of life, they shouldn't waste their time in engaging in the activities of the animals. But they should engage in austerities. And from these austerities, they experience brahmasokyam tvanantam, happiness, inner happiness. Yonta sukotara ramas. Krishna says that one whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is already liberated in the Supreme and attains the Supreme. So this is how to attain inner happiness. Everybody's thinking that happiness is by some external arrangement. House, money, you know, computers, things, more things. No. You can't buy happiness. So, this is how to attain inner happiness. Book distribution is a little austere, mainly because you get rejection. Nobody likes rejection, but it's good. It's good, because it's purifying. It's like, also in the Bhagavatam, it's stated that Krishna is very quickly pleased if we have four qualities, if we approach others with four qualities. Titikshaya, Karuniya, Maitra, Chakila Jandasu, Sumat, Vena, Chisarvarma, Bhagavan, Samprasiditi. First, you got to be tolerant. One of the main, most important qualities of not only a book distributor, but Vaishnavas in general. Tolerance is very important. So when we go on book distribution, we're exercising tolerance. It's like if someone wants to be a weightlifter, they have to exercise, they have to practice, and then they get big muscles. So if you go out on book distribution, you get big spiritual muscles. You become spiritually strong. Tolerant. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to two sannyasis, Satsrup Maharaj, Hridayananda Maharaj, that if you're not humble and you're not tolerant, you will not be able to preach Krishna consciousness. You'll have to stop. So it's very, very, very important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when will I, with a humble heart, go out to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So humility is very important. And what does that humility mean? That we're going out to give this knowledge to please Krishna and to help the conditioned souls with no selfish motive. So this is humble service. This is very good. It's very good. Suprana. Artha. Artha means wealth. We should gauge our life, our wealth, also in spreading Krishna consciousness. It's like now we have a program around the world called the Shastradan. Shastradan means that, do they have that here? You have that here? Shastradan. If you find it impossible or very difficult, extremely difficult, to go out and approach people to distribute books, then you could also give donations, and the devotees here in the temple, they distribute the books to various places. But better than that is you do both. You distribute books and you give Lakshmi to libraries, you know, coffee shops, different places where they, even hospitals, many temples, they put books in hospitals. People are getting ready to leave their body and they're reading about Krishna. You know, also, we're putting many books, actually we have hundreds of thousands of books now in motels. You know, many motels, I don't know if they do it here, but they put Bibles in the hotel rooms. So now we have hundreds of thousands of Bhagavad Gitas in hotel rooms. And people are so excited. They're reading and they're leaving with the Bhagavad Gita. And the hotel owners, mostly they're Patels. In America, 90% of the motel, or something like that, 80% of the motels in America are owned by Patels, called Hotel Patels. So they're very happy, actually, when people leave with the Bhagavad Gita. They want to read it. So they call the devotees, hey, we need more Bhagavad Gitas. People are taking the Bhagavad Gitas. Bring more. Yeah. Very good. Very nice. So this is Shastradan. There's so many ways. Srila Prabhupada said we should tax our brain how to distribute more books. Very important. Prabhupada said this is the basis of our society. Just like we have this nice big building here. It's got a strong foundation. Huge building. Big building here. So strong foundation. We have a big movement also. Hare Krishna movement. And the foundation is book distribution. Prabhupada once said that if you stop book distribution, then eventually there'll be no more Hare Hare Bol. So we want to keep this going. Keep it going. And you could all help. We've inherited this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. And you can be an agent in this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. And one thing that is very, very big around the world now, something called the MSF. Monthly Sankirtan Festival. It's very nice. Now, many of you can't go out. Many of you are working, so it's hard to go out every weekend. You need a break. You want to take it easy. But this Shastradan, or excuse me, this MSF, is once a month, the devotees at the temple and the congregation, they go out on book distribution. When it is, and on Friday night, they go on Harinam. Saturday morning, there's some discussion about the importance of book distribution, try to encourage everybody on book distribution, and then everybody goes out for 3 hours or so, not very long, and then come back, and a huge feast. If book distribution doesn't attract you, that will attract you. Huh? There's a reason for that. So it's very nice. You know, this. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada was here, once a week, everybody would go out on book distribution. Saturday, everybody would go out. The BBT would go out. The cooks would go out. Everybody would go out. And Prabhupada was very happy with that because this is our main activity, giving Krishna to others. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is the only lack in society. So whatever wealth you have, actually there's some religions, they give 10% of their income. Like millions, millions and millions of practitioners of other religions give 10% of all their income for spreading Krishna consciousness. That's a good standard. I think we tried to do that. I guess it's hard to manage. But I know devotees. Actually, there's one devotee here in Mumbai. He gives 80% of his income for spreading Krishna consciousness. I don't know if I should say his name. Yeah, why not? Glorify such a wonderful devotee. Vaishnava Seva. He's in charge of the Desire Tree, ISKCON Desire Tree website. 80%, he told me. And his home, it's a computer office. He said he has 21 employees now. They live at his home. His wife also, very great wife, you know, she's also living there in the office. Yeah. They've turned their home into an office for spreading Krishna consciousness. And he told me they get 5,000 hits a day. I think. Maybe more. Anybody know? I think it's 5,000 hits a day. So people are hearing about Krishna. What an exemplary household ashram. Huh? He's living to spread Krishna consciousness. I know another doctor in America. He also gives 80% of his income for spreading Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada always encouraged devotees 50%. Of course, it's hard because, you know, it's a struggle now throughout the world to maintain their household and children, bills. It's difficult. But there are some. There's a few. So as much as you can, try to give your hard-earned wealth for spreading Krishna consciousness. And what you'll find is that Krishna will reciprocate with you. And he'll give you more. I guarantee it. Prabhupada said that if you distribute books, then Lakshmi Devi becomes your treasurer. It's a good treasurer. Because she's in charge of all the Lakshmi, right? So you'll be amazed to see how much more Lakshmi will come if you give for spreading Krishna consciousness. Mystically, mysteriously, you'll see how your financial problems will disappear the more money you give for spreading Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is Parameshvara, the Supreme Controller. So he'll take care of you, don't worry. So, etavaz jamma sapayam dehinam ihadehishu prana artha dia. Dia means intelligence. We have to use our intelligence also on how to spread Krishna consciousness. You know, people are using their intelligence so many ways now. So the best way to use our intelligence is thinking how to organize my life in such a way that I can help spread this movement. Because we're very fortunate. We're at the feet of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Radha Gopinath. So there's a lot of unfortunate people out there suffering like anything. In America, 40,000 people a year commit suicide. The so-called land of opportunity, land of the free. A lot of suffering. And three times that, try to commit suicide and they fail. In the whole world, I don't know. I mean, it's probably, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people committing suicide. Material world's a tough place. Dukkhaliyam asaswatam. But we have the answer. If there's some difficulty, then what do people do? If there's some difficulty in their life, some major difficulty in their life, what do? They take intoxication to forget. They take alcohol or drugs. I'll tell you one nice story. I was going to save the stories for the end, but we'll say this one story since we're on the subject. This happened here in India. And it happened with a Sankirtan devotee right from this temple. He told me. He was going business to business, shop to shop, distributing books. And he went into one business office. And they were having a meeting. Maybe 10 men, businessmen. So he said, oh, excuse me, I didn't know you were having a meeting. He was just getting ready to leave. He had a stack of Bhagavad Gitas. And the chairman, the main person there, he said, no, please come in. We were just ending this meeting, and I see you have Bhagavad Gitas. Please give each of my colleagues here a Bhagavad Gita, and I'll pay for it. What a nice thing to happen to a book distributor. You know? He must have been really blissed out. All right, no problem. You know? So then gradually the people were leaving, the men were leaving. And he wanted to ask this man, why are you so enthusiastic about Bhagavad Gita? So he asked him. He said, I'll tell you what happened to me. I was living a happy life, wife, children. At one point, my wife just turned on me. I don't know what happened. But she just started giving me such a hard time. Made my life miserable. And then the children, seeing her giving me such a hard time, they started giving me a hard time too. Yeah. Oh, can everyone turn your cell phones off? And if your cell phone goes off, then you have to go out and sell a Bhagavad Gita today. Okay? That's the rule. So, he said, my life became miserable. I didn't know what to do. So I started taking alcohol just to forget the misery that was happening in my family life. So I was drinking and drinking and drinking. Eventually, I became an alcoholic. Miserable. My life was just a miserable mess. So I decided I can't live like this. So I decided to commit suicide. But just before I took my life, I looked up in the bookshelf and I saw the Bhagavad Gita by chance. And I thought, maybe there's something there. Let me look at it. And this man said, just from reading the first paragraph in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, I felt so much relief. So I kept reading. And I kept reading. And I kept reading. I read the whole Bhagavad Gita in 5 days. All I did was I ate a little bit, I slept a little bit, and I read Bhagavad Gita. And when I finished reading the Bhagavad Gita, I had never been so happy in my life. I was so happy. And I was thanking Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then shortly after that, all my family problems finished. My wife became very nice again. My children became very nice again. I was telling them about the Bhagavad Gita. She started reading the Bhagavad Gita. My children reading the Bhagavad Gita. We all became devotees. So this is the result of reading Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita ki? Yeah. So we got to get this knowledge out to the people. It saves people's lives. Many, many devotees told me that their life was saved by reading the Bhagavad Gita. So we don't know. When you distribute a book to someone, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the result is going to be from them getting that book. No idea. Because these books, they're not just books. They're Krishna. The book is non-different than Krishna. And therefore it's stated, tapyante lokatapena prayaso prayasojana, that the highest method of worshipping Sri Sri Radha Gopinath is to take the books out and give it to the people. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. it's stated, translation, that it's very natural that devotees of the Lord undergo voluntary austerity to relieve the suffering of the people in general. And this is considered to be the highest method of worshiping Krishna. It's like, what's the population here in Mumbai? Someone told me 20 million. It's a lot of people. It may not be that high, but it's big. So how many people come to our temple and see the deity? Very few. Even though many of them are Hindus, very few. Yeah. Maybe, you know, Janmashtami, maybe 10,000 people. How many people come on Janmashtami? 20,000. Very good. Yeah. Juhu also, so many. But 20 million people, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. Right? That's nothing. Even on Janmashtami, so few people come. So we got to bring Krishna out to the people. People aren't coming to Krishna, so Krishna goes to the people. And we're the agents, just like we heard nicely from Gauranga Prabhu, that sometimes Krishna needs some assistance, you know, in the material world. He doesn't come here and stay all the time, so he needs some help. He came and he spoke Bhagavad Gita, the message, so now he needs some help. He sends his representative, Srila Prabhupada, yeah, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktinoda Thakur. They need assistance. They need help also. So Krishna is very kind. He comes and he gives this transcendental message. And now he's so kind that we're also taking shelter of this message. So the best thing we could do is help others receive this message. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give this message. And he is known as Patita Pavana, Hetu Tava Avatar. He is the most merciful incarnation. Why? Because he's just giving. Krishna, he made some conditions. Surrender to me. Sarvadharmam Parichaya Mami Kama Saranamraja Hung Tom Sarvapapaja Moksha Sarvashaja. He also says that those who are not austere, those who are not devoted, they do not teach this message to them. So then Lord Chaitanya comes. Yari de katari kaha, Krishna upades, amarag yaya guru, hanatari des. He told the Korma Brahmana, instruct everyone of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This way you become a spiritual master. Liberate everyone in the land. Let everyone have it. Why? There was this change. Because Krishna and Radharani is the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Krishna Nahayanya. It's a combined form of Radha and Krishna. And Radharani is especially compassionate. She's the tender-hearted counterpart of Krishna. As we also heard Gauranga Prabhu say. The tender-hearted counterpart of Krishna. Very, very kind. So this is why Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Because Radharani is there. He's very compassionate. And therefore in Vrindavan, what do they say? Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe. Jai, Jai, Shri Radhe. Because everyone knows, you get the mercy of Radharani, Krishna's got to give his. Because if she recommends anyone, then Krishna, he's obliged. So this is why Lord Chaitanya is so kind. Let everyone take. Kiba vipra kimanyasi sudra kena yoi, ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoi. Sudra, Malecha, anybody. And Prabhupada's father, how would he pray to any sadhu that would come to his home? Please bless my son that he can be a devotee of Srimati Radharani. Any sadhu that would come, please bless my son that he can be a devotee of Srimati Radharani. So he was getting many blessings from sadhus, be a servant of Radharani. So what does Prabhupada end up doing? The most compassionate work that this line has ever seen. Spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world to the Malechas, the Yavanas, the lowest. Yeah. There's many other Brahmins and Gurus. They would not even spend time going and wasting their time talking to Malechas, useless people. Yeah. But Prabhupada had this compassion. He saw the soul within everyone. I'll tell you a nice little pastime in this connection. Prabhupada was staying in Chicago, and there was one person, one bhakti, that was coming around, starting to practice. And he was very big, huge body, maybe 200 kilos, huge body. But he was chanting, he was attractive. So one devotee that was cultivating this person, he brought him in to see Prabhupada, introduced him to Prabhupada. Excuse me. So he brought this big boy into Prabhupada. And the devotee was, he introduced him to Prabhupada. And they were talking for a while, and then he left, and then one of the devotees, after they left, one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Boy, he was a pretty big boy, wasn't he, Prabhupada?" And Prabhupada said, "He was no bigger than you. Your spirit soul, his spirit soul. Yeah. You both weigh the same." So Prabhupada saw the soul. He's seeing this big body, huge body. Prabhupada's not, he's just seeing the soul. So this is self-realization. And the more we dedicate our life to spreading Krishna consciousness, the more we also become self-realized. And Krishna reciprocates. He gives us realizations. You know, this is one of the most attractive aspects of distributing books. Is that we get this reciprocation from Krishna. We get realization of who we are, of who Krishna is, and who the people are that we're approaching. So I was telling you, prana, artha, dhyā, vācha, and words. We should engage our words. Now when you're distributing books, constantly talking about the books and you're talking about Krishna, so what a wonderful way to use our speech facility, right? All day long. We have the book distribution party here. All day talking about, it's so nice. Yeah, book distribution is so nice. Yeah, just talking about Krishna all day, showing pictures of Krishna. It's so nice. It's such a blessing. Yeah, to be able to do this activity. So I highly, highly encourage you, recommend that you do some book distribution once a month. It's not much. Many of you, you're working, so it's hard. Of course, we have full-time book distributors. They get special mercy. I'll tell you another. There's another. Actually, this reminds me of another nice pastime of Prabhupada in this regard. Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and devotees were showing him pictures of different temples that had been opened. So Prabhupada was looking at the pictures kind of nonchalantly, not showing very much interest. So two devotees walked in from South America, Venezuela. So the temple president, one of them was president, and the other one was a book distributor. So the president could see that Prabhupada wasn't showing very much interest in these pictures of different temples that had opened up. So this temple president said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, this devotee next to me, he's distributed 10,000 of your Bhagavad Gitas." And Prabhupada's eyes became very wide. And he looked at him and said, "He has the mercy of Krishna." Imagine how he felt, you know. He must have felt real good. Like, whoa, okay. That's mercy. But the devotees that were showing the pictures to Prabhupada, they kind of felt a little disheartened, because they were trying to please Prabhupada also. But they could see they didn't please Prabhupada like this book distributor. So Prabhupada saw that. He said, no. You also have pleased Krishna. Just like in Vrindavan. There's the cowherd boys. There's Mother Yasoda. There's Nanda Maharaj. There's the gopis. They're all serving Krishna. But the gopis are special devotees. They're special devotees. So you're also serving Krishna. It's also very pleasing to Krishna. But the book distributors, their service is special. Even one time he said, the book distributors, they could even be a little proud. Interesting statement. So it's very important that we get this message out. I mentioned to you the four qualities also. I mentioned the tolerance. I didn't go to the next one. If you're tolerant, then we can also be compassionate. That's from tolerance comes compassion. If you're not tolerant, there's no way compassion will come out. Not possible. You have to be tolerant. Then there's room for compassion to come out. And this compassion is a very, very special quality. Very few people have true compassion, because we're conditioned souls. We have envy in our hearts. So envy is diametrically opposed to compassion. It's complete opposite of compassion. So this is something that we have to really pray for. This compassion. Could somehow, you know, get this compassion. Oh, our life becomes so sublime. You could pray to Prabhupada. Prabhupada had so much compassion. So much compassion. Inconceivable. Just like there's this verse, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipunau Sadharma Sangstapakau Lokanam Vitakarana Tribhuvane Manyao Saranya Karo Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Andhena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo Sri Jiva Sri Gopalako. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they're scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing religious principles throughout the world. That was their mission. And who did it? Prabhupada. Prabhupada did it. What no one has ever done, Prabhupada did. And he's still doing it. He's still doing it. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die while still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So Prabhupada's alive. Yeah. One interviewer, he asked Prabhupada, "So, who's going to take over when you die?" There's a whole bunch of devotees there. Prabhupada said, "I'll never die." And all the devotees said, "Jai Prabhupada!" No, because he lives in his books. And he even said, "My devotional ecstasies are in my purports. So therefore my books are better than me." So these books are very powerful. Yeah. They change people's lives. Personally, I read the Bhagavad Gita. Immediately I gave up all my nonsense and chanted Hare Krishna. This is the power of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. So we should pray for this compassion. Yeah. And man proposes, God disposes. You may find yourself with compassion if you pray very sincerely for this compassion. You may find yourself with compassion. And then, yeah, it's a natural quality of the soul. We're covered now. We don't have this tolerance, compassion, and so many devotee qualities. But they're there. They're there. They're in the heart. By this process of Krishna consciousness, these qualities, they'll come out. They'll come out. Just keep practicing. Keep praying. And Krishna will purify us. Tatikshaya karunya maitra. We should approach people in a friendly way. So tolerance, compassion, approaching people in a friendly way. Yeah. Like friends, like old friends. Because everybody is a spirit soul. If we chant good japa, we have good sadhana in the morning, then when we go out on book distribution or when we distribute books in our MSF, Monthly Sankirtan Festival, then we'll see people are spirit soul. And then it's very easy to approach people in a friendly way. It's very easy. Sometimes people say to book distributors, wow, I feel like you're one of my old friends. Sometimes they say like that. Because devotees are so transcendental and friendly. One of my mottos when I go around and I give book distribution seminars is that even if someone doesn't take a book, everybody walks away with a smile, feeling that they've met a very nice gentleman. So this friendliness is very important, this personalism. Not that we're doing the bum's rush. You know, in America they have a saying called the bum's rush. You know, a bum goes up to someone, give me some money, and they get a dime, they rush off to someone else, don't even say anything, no thank you. No, it's called the bum's rush. You know, just get a dime and rush off, you know, no thank you, no nothing, just bum's rush. Yeah. So no, we have to be very personal. Yeah. I'll tell you an interesting story that happened. One friend of mine, he was in the New York bus station getting a bus, and one devotee approached him. And this devotee was very nice, very considerate, very personal, very friendly. He was trying to distribute book to my friend. He didn't take the book, but he was very impressed with the friendliness and the personal exchange that he had with this devotee. A few months later, maybe 4 months later, he's in Florida, and another devotee approaches him to sell him a book. And he also, very kind, very friendly, very personal. Yeah. And he was amazed. These people are really nice people. And he asked this devotee, do you have a temple around here? He said, yeah. And he gave him directions to the temple. He went to the temple and never left. Didn't read one line of Prabhupada's books. Just by the example of the devotees, the friendly, kind, courteous, personal example of the devotees, he was convinced this is the absolute truth. And he joined the movement. He's still a devotee. Yeah. Now he's been a devotee for 37 years. And he knows Prabhupada's books very well. So example is better than precept. You may be reading the books, but if you don't have good character, then what is the use? So we also want to have good character. And this good character comes out by developing these qualities. You go on book distribution and you develop these qualities. If you want to stay on book distribution, you have to develop these qualities. Yeah. Because otherwise, it becomes more and more difficult. You have to be humble. That's a very nice aspect of book distribution. Krishna is very expert at humbling you. They're very expert. You may have some success on book distribution. It's like I remember there was one devotee distributing books. This is one brahmachari. He was traveling with Hridayananda Maharaj and Satsrup Maharaj. Satsrup Maharaj and Hridayananda Maharaj, they were going around all the universities around America, and they were giving lectures in the classes. And this one brahmachari, he would go ahead and he would arrange the classes at the universities. But he would also distribute books. After he arranged the classes, he would distribute books. So this one university, he was doing really good. Practically everybody was taking books. And he was amazed. He was so happy. Everybody's taking books. It was just amazing. So then the swamis came. And he said, "You know something? Chris, I could distribute a book to anybody." And they said, "Oh, really? Okay. Let's see how you can distribute a book to anybody." So then he said, "Yeah, watch me." So he went out and he's distributing, he's trying. No one took a book for 2 hours. And then the Swami said, "Hey, what happened?" "Well, I think I got proud. Krishna smashed me." So, it's a very good way to become humble. If you want to be humble, you want to be tolerant, then highly recommend it. Spend some time on book distribution. Yeah? So to be friendly to everyone, and then the last one, to be equal, to see everyone equally. Not that, "Oh, this person's too ugly, he won't take a book," or "This person's, you know, this person doesn't look very intelligent," or "This person here, he looks too mean. You know, this person, he's a businessman, he'll never take a book." You know, so many different, our mind comes up with so many reasons why they can't take a book. I remember I was in the airport in Los Angeles once, and the airport was empty, but there was one man coming. Very pukka businessman, American businessman, $1,000 suit, you know, just pukka. Now, generally, these people never take books. They just, no. Get a job. Don't bother me. So I thought, all right, there's only one soul coming. He looks heavy, but anyway, let me give it a try. So I said, "Excuse me, sir." And he stopped, and we're showing these to everyone today. So I started showing the Bhagavad Gita, showing the pictures, explaining it. And he said, "You know, I'm completely into this stuff. I'm surprised that you picked me out of the crowd." There was no crowd, though. So he was so happy to get the Bhagavad Gita. Gave me a real nice donation. He walked on with the Bhagavad Gita. So I was shocked. As he was walking, I was thinking, man, that guy was one of the nicest guys I've met the whole week. So you never know. You never know who's going to take a book and who isn't going to take a book. So we have to be shama. Everyone is a spiritual soul. Don't speculate. Don't speculate. Anybody can take a book. I was at one university distributing books on a way I distribute with a table in front of me. I had Prabhupada's books there. One trash man came by with his trash bin rolling. He stopped in front of my table. He said, "What you got there?" I said, "Oh, I have the Bhagavad Gita and Science of Self-Realization." So I started showing the Bhagavad Gita. He said, "Hey." He said, "Yeah, this sounds interesting. How much do you want for it?" So I told him the price. "All right, yeah, I'll take one." So he took one. I mean, generally we don't approach trash men, you know, walking around. But that's a nice thing about book distribution with a table. Everyone comes and stops, you know. The people that you may not approach normally. So this trash man, he had a bag, so he put the bag, he put the Bhagavad Gita in the bag, and he stuck it in the trash. Yeah. At least he had enough conscience to protect the book, you know. So then he walked away with the Bhagavad Gita. So was, we never know who's going to take a book. There was one instance of some devotees were at a festival. And this lady came, and she was looking at the books, and she was completely unkempt. Just she was a bum living on the streets. Dirty, very dirty, and she smelled real bad. She was looking at the books, and she said, how much are they? So he said, gave a price, and she said, okay. And she took a small book, and the devotees were very kind to her. Again, very personal and kind, even though she was, you know, living on the street. Devotees were still very kind to her, and she was impressed with that. She came back the next day, and she gave $20 for Bhagavad Gita. And the devotees were just like blown away. You know, couldn't believe it. So even bums, they take books. You know, trash men, millionaire businessmen. You never know. So you have to be sama. So this is also, when you go on book distribution, this helps us develop sama. You know, equality towards everyone. So I mentioned I'd speak about how to effectively distribute more books. So Srila Prabhupada said, purity is the force. Purity is the force. So how to get this purity? Good sadhana. You chant 16 rounds, good rounds, before you go out, attentive rounds. I'll give you an example of this. Imagine someone has a flat here in Mumbai, in the poorest area of Mumbai, okay? And he leaves his doors wide open. He's got his sound equipment in there, and he's got his furniture in there, and he's got all this stuff in there. Very crime-ridden area, but he leaves the front door open, the back door, everything's open. So what are the chances of anything being left in there when he wakes up in the morning? Nothing. It's all gone, right? So if we don't chant our rounds, then it's like we're leaving the door wide open for Maya to just take away any understanding we have of Krishna. We got to chant our rounds attentively. Attentively. Very important. Now let's say the same person, he closes the doors at night, but he leaves the windows open. Still they can come in. So leaving the windows open is like having the, you know, chanting our 16 rounds, but inattentively. The windows are still open. That's inattentive. Maya will still come in and pull away, yeah, our devotion. So we have to chant our rounds attentively. And I'll tell you a nice thing. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but Bhakti Tirtha Swami had a very nice program. He said if he was chanting and he found that he was inattentive, then he would stop and he would back up some beats and then he would start chanting again. This checks the mind because we know the mind is very flickering. It's always going here and there and everywhere. So if we don't stop it, then it keeps going. So this way, we're stopping the mind. It's very good training for the mind. Back up and do that chanting again. Very good. Yeah. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, the mind is a rascal. It's a rascal. It doesn't want to chant. So you have to preach to the mind. Listen, mind, I know you don't want to chant, but this is the new program. If we don't chant attentively, then you're going to chant more. Okay? You understand? Do you understand the new program? You don't want to be attentive? All right, we're going to chant more. All right, all right, all right. We'll chant more gently. All right. Then he's cooperating more. He doesn't want to chant more. All right. So this is a very nice program to help us. Yeah. This is good training for the mind. Jaya Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. So Prabhupada said 99% of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is in the chanting of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. So also with our distribution of books, if you want to distribute a lot of books, you have to hear attentively. You have to read Prabhupada's books also. This is where you get enthusiasm. There was one devotee, he distributed 900 big books in one day. And you know how much he would read a day? 3 hours. He would just completely on fire. He would chant attentive rounds, then he would read attentively for 3 hours. And by the time he got out on book distribution, he was like, ready to go. He was ready to give the mercy to the conditioned souls. And he did, you know, that's still the record. Person to person, 900 books. He would give whole sets to people. Here, you like to read? Here, take this. And they would take whole big stacks. This is in Switzerland. People would buy whole big stacks of books. Such Shakti. So that Shakti comes from Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. So 16 rounds finished before you go out. Read Prabhupada's books. Because in Prabhupada's books, he's always emphasizing the importance of preaching. Prabhupada's books are compact with so much nectar. It's like my favorite book is the Bhagavad Gita. I told you, I mentioned to you, I read a chapter a day. I mentioned that this morning. But I have two bookmarks. I also read the purports. Krishna won't be pleased if you only read the translation. So the chapter a day means I only read the translation. Then I have another bookmark, I read the purports. So these purports are just so nice. Each sentence is like a stanza. It's like a Vedic stanza. Each sentence, it's just so packed with nectar. So whenever I finish reading the Bhagavad Gita, whether it's chapter a day or the purport, I just start reading it again because it's so inspiring. Yeah. And Srimad Bhagavatam also, very compact with nectar. Chaitanya Charitamrita, these books are so nice. You read these books, you'll be inspired to give the books out to the people. This is how you'll have big results. It's like devotees once told Prabhupada, one Sankirtan leader. He said, Prabhupada, we're teaching different techniques on how to distribute books. And Prabhupada said, no. You simply teach them to be sincere. And Krishna will help them from within. Prabhupada had this intense sincerity. That's why he was so successful. He had a mountain of sincerity. Yeah. So if we're sincere, Krishna will help us. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. No, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Nadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarta Karna. No, it was right the first time. When you learn a lot of verses, you get mixed up, you know, with the verses. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridasera Junatisati Brahmayan Sarvabhutanam Yantravrahani Mayuya. Krishna says, I am seated in the hearts of all living entities and I am directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as though on a machine made of the material energy. So this verse is very interesting. If we're sincere, then Krishna will send people to take books. According to this verse here, I am seated in the hearts of all living entities and I'm directing the wanderings of all living entities. No one is independent. Yeah. So if we're sincere, Krishna will direct people to you to take a book. Many, many times I've had the experience of people, you know, I'm standing here distributing books and people are coming this way and I'm stopping them and they take a book and then they walk back the same way they came. And I'm thinking, why do they do? Generally, people walk, they keep going the same way, right? Right? But then they go back. the same way they came. And sometimes people tell me, you know, I never walked this way. And as I was walking this way, I was thinking, why am I walking this way? And now you're giving me this book. Now I know why I came this way. Even they have some spiritual understanding sometimes. Yeah? So Krishna is directing the wanderings of all living entities. And you'll find that if you're sincerely trying to distribute books, so many people will come and take books by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. And it's so nice. Yeah. People walk away with Prabhupada's books. It gives a real nice feeling to the heart. Yeah. That you're actually doing something good for society. And another thing is that, like I mentioned, we have to use our intelligence on how to distribute more books. So people sometimes come up with excuses why they don't want to take a book. No time. That's a big one. That's a big mantra that they respond with when we try to give them a book. No time. So what do you say? What do you say, book distributors? You're a book distributor? Yeah? What do you say? 5 or 10 minutes. 5 or 10 minutes a day. Good. Very good. Anybody else? What do you say? One line. Very good. One line a day. Gradual process. I tell them, that's a good one. I like that. That's a good one too. I tell them, books are patient. It'll wait for you. Yeah. No time now. Put in your bookshelf. You never know. Just like this, I told you about this man that was going to commit suicide. The book was there for 20 years. Tick, 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 like a time bomb, just waiting. And then it went off, and it saved his life. You see? So, no loss. Even if it sits there for 20, 30 years, it may sit there longer. See, that's why Prabhupada wanted big books, because they last a long time. Yeah. Big books. Yeah. So, sometimes people say, no, I'm not interested. What do you say? I'm not interested. What do you say? Okay, that's a good one. I also wasn't interested. I was in the same boat as you, guy. I wasn't interested either, but now I read the book. Hey, it's great. Yeah, you might find it to be great too. Good one. Very good. I tell him, up here, you're not interested. But here, you're very interested. And many times they take books with that little statement. And Christians, what do you say? Christians. I tell them, no. They see, when another religion, whatever religion, Hindu, whether they're Christian or Muslim or Jain, or you just see, immediately they become defensive. You're trying to give me a book from another religion. But I'm with this religion. So me, you take their defense off. No. You're misunderstanding. We're not trying to change your belief. But there's always more to learn. So then you give a positive. You take their defense off. We're not trying to change your belief. Don't worry. It's okay. But there's always more to learn. I sell a lot of books to Christians, to Muslims, even atheists. Oh, you're an atheist? That's okay. We're not trying to change your belief. Although we are. But there's always more to learn, right? Yeah, that's true. All right. This guy is distributing books in Australia. And I knocked on a door, door-to-door book distribution. And one man opened the door and he saw the Bhagavad Gita. He said, no. I'm not into all this religious stuff. I worship Satan. And I said, well, you're worshiping Satan. This is about God. You should know your enemy. Right? Good point. All right, I'll take it. He gave $20 and took a Bhagavad Gita. You know? Yeah, maybe he had a change of heart. You know? So many atheists became devotees. Vishakha Mataji. You know Vishakha Mataji? She was a big-time atheist. Now she travels all over the world giving wonderful lectures on the Bhagavad Gita. See, this is the power of Krishna and Prabhupada. Many devotees were atheists. I also, at one period, I was an atheist, and I got out of that. But yeah. Because especially in the West, what do they have? Christianity. It doesn't give very much. Very limited. Practically no philosophy. Very sentimental. So there's a lot of atheists that become devotees from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Yeah. So also, book distribution is all about prayer. You got to pray a lot. So this is also what makes book distribution so nice. You've got to take shelter of Krishna. You can't space out on book distribution. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult. You got to really focus. Vyavasyatmika buddhir ekeha kurunanana bahusaka hirantasana buddhiyo vyavasayana. Those who are on this path, they're one-pointed, fixed in their determination. It's very important. You got to pray. So how do you pray? Krishna, please, help me to be an instrument in your hands to give this knowledge to the conditioned souls. Help me to understand who they are and who I am and who you are. Please give me purity so I can convince them to take this mercy. So many different things that you can pray. But also, many devotees, they just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And many devotees also chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivedanta. So also, you can do like that. But you got to keep your mind focused. You know, don't space out. Yeah. Book distribution is like japa. It's like your japa. You have to stay focused. Otherwise, it becomes dry. Yeah. Just like if you chant japa before breakfast, then your japa is good. Yeah. It's Brahma Muhurta is the best time. If you try to chant japa in the afternoon, it's like each bead is like a lead weight. Yeah. It's very difficult, isn't it? My experience is that it's very difficult because there's so much going on. You know, there's devotees walking around and you're and there's just so much happening in the afternoon. In the Brahma Muhurta, practically everybody is just chanting japa. They're reading, they're chanting japa. It's all spiritual activity. Best time to chant. Highly recommended. Actually, one time Prabhupada said the best time to chant your 16 rounds before Mangal Arati. That's a little tough. But Prabhupada said it. And then, after Mangal Arati, then you could read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So when I heard Prabhupada say that, I thought, well, might as well try for the best. Yeah. So I did that for many years. I still do it. When I'm traveling, it's hard. But when I'm in Los Angeles, I try to do that as much as possible. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, chant all my japa before Mangal Arati. And then after Mangal Arati, I read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, study verses. Very nice. If you can do it, give it a try. Of course, you got to take rest early, you know. You got to take rest, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. So that's a tough one. But Benjamin Franklin said, early to bed, early to rise, makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. Even old Benjamin Franklin used to take rest early, according to that. So if you can do that, that's very good. So these are some of the things that can help you. Distribute more books. So I mentioned I'd say some stories. So there's one distributor in Amsterdam, Holland, distributing books. And he was at one office building, distributing. And after he went to one office, one man called the police. He didn't like that he was selling books. So this devotee, he left the building. Then he saw the police coming at him very fast. So he decided to try to run away. So he went down one alley. And when he got to the end, he found, oh, it's a dead-end alley. What to do now? Then he got to the end, and there was some light coming through one door, so he opened the doorknob, and oh, good, it's open. So he opened the door, he went in, and it's kind of dark, and then he saw some more light. There was a curtain there. So he went to the curtain, and he opened the curtain, and he had this box of books with him. So the man on the stage said, oh, great, you're here. You're finally here. We're wondering when you're going to come. You have the prizes? Do you have the prizes? So he's a very sharp devotee. Yeah, I have the prizes. Here. Yeah. Okay, so everybody come up. Get your prizes. He's here. So people are coming up, and he was giving Bhagavad Gita's to the people. And then after he gave the Bhagavad Gita's to the winners, the man said, how much do I owe you now for the prizes? And he was also sharp, so he gave a very high price, you know. So he gave a big donation, you know? And then the devotee, after everybody was leaving, he asked the man, what was this all about here? He said, oh, this is a butcher's convention. You understand? A butcher's convention? You understand what that? Butcher's convention means? It was a meeting of people that ran places where animals are killed, where cows are killed. They're owners of buildings where cows were killed. But they got the mercy of Krishna. You see? This is the mercy of Krishna. Another time there was a devotee. Actually, there was... this person was not a devotee. He was in the forest. He was on a walk. They have these nature paths through forests. People just go on long walks. And he had a dog with him. And this dog stopped. As they were walking, this dog stopped. And he was smelling something. And this person was trying to pull the dog, but he couldn't pull him away. So what are you looking at there? So he moved the leaves. Krishna book was there under the leaves. He said, what is this book doing way out here in the forest? So he sat down and he started reading it. And he kind of liked it and took it home. And he became a devotee. This is probably the first time in history that a dog became the Vartma Pradarshika guru. So you see, that someone distributed that book, that Krishna book, to somebody. You know, a devotee distributed that book. It ends up in the forest, on the ground, and someone becomes a devotee. You see? You never know how these books are going to end up. You never know. Another forest story. Man was in the forest, and he's on a nature walk, on the path. And he goes in America, they have these outhouses. It means there's a toilet. A toilet there, you know, they walled in, you know, for these people that go on their nature walks. Nice facilities, you know. But the water is on the top. And you pull this string, and then the toilet is flushed. Yeah. So this man went to the toilet, and then he pulled the string down, and the whole thing came crashing down. Water and everything. There was a Bhagavad Gita. Someone had put the Bhagavad Gita inside. Now, no, this is clean water. It's not urine or stool. It's clean water. It's what goes down to flush. So the water was clean, but the book was completely, you can imagine, completely soaked. But this person saw this. He saw this book. What's a book doing in this toilet? He couldn't believe it. So he saw the cover, Bhagavad Gita, and he had heard of the Bhagavad Gita before. And he had wanted to read it. So he thought, well, let me take it home, let it dry out. Yeah, it'll be interesting. So he took it home. It dried out after maybe a week or so. And he read it, and he became a devotee. You see? Amazing. Ends up, you know, up there in the water for flushing toilets, and he still becomes a devotee. Now I have a nice Radha Swami story for you. Radha Swami, as you know, he used to preach in America, still does, but he used to travel to universities, and he would hitchhike. Universities around the Midwest. Very successful preaching, as I'm sure you could imagine. So he was hitchhiking, and one guy picked him up in a truck. And Radha Swami asked him, so do you know who Krishna is? And the man said, yes, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wow, how do you know that? Well, I read it somewhere. Well, what else do you know? He said, well, I know that we should follow four regulative principles. And he said, you follow four regulative principles? You betcha I do. I do. Well, tell me something else about you. He said, well, I chant Hare Krishna. You chant Hare Krishna? Yeah, I chant Hare. I chant Hare Krishna all day long. I love Krishna. Radha Swami was thinking, wow, what is a special ride here? So then he said, well, how did you find out about Krishna? He said, well, you know, it's amazing how I found out about Krishna. I was at a store, and I was eating this watermelon, and it was a good watermelon. I was eating it over a bin, trash can. And it was so good, but it slipped out of my hands and fell into the trash. And it was so good. Now, generally, I wouldn't stick my hand back in there to pick up a watermelon, but it was so good. I reached back in there to pick up that watermelon, and what do I pull out? Bhagavad Gita. And that was better than a watermelon. I reached back in again and got that watermelon, but I kept that Bhagavad Gita. And I read that Bhagavad Gita, and it made more sense to me than anything else I ever read in my life. And that's why I'm always chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, he's my man. I love Prabhupada. So, and then he asked him, so he asked Radha Swami, so where are you going anyway? I'm going to the temple. You're going to the temple? I've always wanted to go to a temple. Can I go to the temple too? I said, sure, yeah, let's go. Oh, man, this is my day. He's a southern, you know, he's a southern talker, yes. This is the best day of my life. I'm going to the temple. Finally, I'm going to the temple with a Hare Krishna devotee. Boy, this is my day. So then he's, as they're driving, Radha Swami asked him, so what kind of work do you do? He said, I'm a welder. Now, this is the same time when they're building the Prabhupada Palace. So Radha Swami started thinking, wow, this guy's a welder, and we need welders. So he said, well, where are you working? He said, well, I'm not working. I quit my job. I'm just in the hands of God now, just trying to figure out what's going to happen in my life. So Radha Swami said, well, you know, we need welders. We're building a palace for Prabhupada. And then his eyes got wide. He said, you're building a palace for Prabhupada and you need welders? Well, I'm your man. I'm here for you. He was so happy. He was just, his whole life, it just. So then he said, you know, this is special. This is really amazing. Because I got all the welding equipment. I got $20,000 worth of welding equipment in my back of my truck. So this is really special. And I got $5,000 also. When I left my job, I had this money. And so I don't know what to do. What do you think I should do with this money? So Radha Swami said, well, you give it to Krishna. When we go to the temple, just put it in his donation box. He said, that's what I'll do. That's the best thing I could do. Give it to Krishna. So that's amazing, huh? So he's still a devotee. Got the book from a bin. All right. Was that your phone? You got to go out and sell the Bhagavad Gita. All right? You lucked out.
Again? Two Bhagavad Gitas.
He's getting special mercy. I think he wants to distribute more books. That's why he keeps going off again. Yeah. So, another time. Actually, this is another story from Chaupati Temple. There was one devotee from here, Chaupati Temple. He was distributing books at one of the train stations. And he had a table there, and he had a microphone, and he was calling people over. Come over, we have Bhagavad Gita's here, come on. Check out these Bhagavad Gita's. We have wonderful books here, Science of Self-Realization. Come and check it out. So people were coming, and they were taking books. And one man came. And he said, here, check out this Bhagavad Gita. And he kind of ignored him. So he went on to other people, talking to other people, showing the Bhagavad Gita, showing the other books. The man is still standing there. He's looking at the books. He said, please, sir, check out this Bhagavad Gita. He said, why should I read the Bhagavad Gita? I spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Everything emanates from me. I'm the cause of all causes. I know everything. Why should I read the Bhagavad Gita? And this devotee thought, oh boy, is this guy in the steeps of illusion here? So he just ignored him and went on talking to other people. And as he was talking to other people, he said, we have to be careful about people who claim to be God, Mayavadis, who are fools, you know, just living illusions, you know, fool's paradise. So we have to be careful of those people. This book here, this teaches the absolute truth. No cheating going on, no nonsense. So people were appreciating their buying books. And then this devotee, Sridham. Any of you know Sridham? Any of you know Sridham? Is he still here? Is he still here at this temple, or is he gone preaching somewhere else? Or, He's still living here?
No, he's a congregation
devotee. Okay, so he was, you know, using his microphone, getting people to come over. His mic went out, stopped working. So he said, "Hey, God, since you're God, you can do so many things. My microphone broke. Can you fix it for me?" He said, okay. So he gave the microphone to him. So he's fiddling with the microphone. Meanwhile, Sridham is talking to other devotees, to other people, trying to convince them to take books. And after 10 minutes, he's still fiddling with the microphone. He said, hey, what kind of God are you? You can't even fix a microphone. Jeez, man, what a cheap God. He said, listen, guy. You're not God. You can't even fix this microphone. You should just, give up this nonsense. Read the Bhagavad Gita, come to the real truth, and you'll be happy. Stop living this fool's paradise, nonsense. God, you can't even fix a microphone. Come on, can't you see your foolishness, huh? He said, all right, you're right, you got me. He bought a Bhagavad Gita and walked and took off. So, Sridham is good preaching, yeah? Very good. So there's one man in England. He liked to fish. In the West, people like to fish a lot. Also here in India, especially on the east side, they like to fish a lot. So this person, somehow he got a book, and he read the book, and he liked the book. And he was visiting the temple. He became a congregation devotee. And devotees were preaching to him. And he was chanting japa. But somehow, he was still fishing. He liked to fish. And he was feeling guilty. I know it's wrong. He was a vegetarian too. But he just liked to fish. Somehow, there's people like that. They just fish, and then they throw the fish back out there. After they catch it, they throw the fish back out there. Poor fish, they got the hook in their mouth, They cut the line and they throw him back out there. Now he's swimming around with a hook in his mouth, Terrible. So, he feels so guilty that he stopped visiting the temple and kept fishing. Just couldn't stop fishing, Karma, bad karma, So he's out there fishing one time and he throws his line out there. And he's caught something. He's reeling it in, reeling it in, reeling it in. And it's heavy. So he picks it up, and it's a bag. It's a plastic bag. And he brings it in. What's this? Shaped like a book. Yeah. And what is it? Bhagavad Gita. In Europe, what they do is, because it rains there a lot of the books are shrink-wrapped with plastic. So somehow this guy threw that out there, and someone just got the book and threw it in there, and it was protected because it had the plastic. So he threw it, and the guy saw the Bhagavad Gita, and he thought, my God, I can't believe it. I've just fished in the Bhagavad Gita. He was so shocked. He said, all right, from this day, I'll never fish again, I promise, Krishna. Because if you fish Krishna in, yeah, he's trying to tell me something there. From that day, he gave up fishing. Now he's a very nice congregational member. Yeah. So Krishna has amazing ways of bringing devotees in. In this regard, I'll tell you another interesting story. There was a student in California, and he was riding his bike. This is in Santa Barbara. He was a student at UCSB, University of California, Santa Barbara. So he's riding his bike along, and his bike crashes. He falls down. And when he stands up, no memory. No memory. Can't remember anything. Amnesia. Heavy amnesia. Can't remember his name, where he lives. Zero. Nothing. So he's shocked. Now what am I going to do? I don't know where I live. I don't know my name. I don't know where I was riding my bike. Because he knew the bike was his, because he was down, it was down, so it must be his bike. Right? So he picks up the bike, and he's walking the bike, not knowing where he's going. And this is the position of a lot of people in this world now. People have amnesia. They've forgotten who they are. They think they're Jim Jones or this, that, or Mr. Patel. They've forgotten that they're the eternal servant of Krishna. It's a very scary situation. Just like this person, very scary situation. He doesn't know where he's going. Similarly, people now, they don't know where they're going. They're doing so much sinful activity, they don't know where they're going. Very awkward situation. So this person's riding, walking his bike, and one devotee sees him. And he walks up to him and says, excuse me, where are you from? And this person says, good question. I have no idea where I'm from. I don't know my name. I wrecked my bike. I've got amnesia. I know zero, nothing. What am I going to do? And the devotee said, well, I'll tell you who you are. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. He said, well, at least now I know something. At least now it's not zero. At least I know one thing. So this devotee saw his awkward situation, and he was innocent. So he thought, let me help this person. So he took him to his flat, and he taught him about Krishna consciousness. Took care of him, took him under his wing. He became a devotee. He became a book distributor in the Los Angeles Temple, one of the biggest book distributors in Los Angeles Temple. Very nice book distributor. Very nice. He's still distributing books, but he's also the temple commander in Los Angeles. So he's doing many activities. Very nice devotee. So at one point, he wanted to find out who he was materially. He found out who he was spiritually. So he had some pictures taken of him, and he put the picture on a paper, and on the bottom it said, I have amnesia, I've forgotten who I am. If you know who I am, please call this number. So many people called, and they, you know, I know who you are. You know, you're this and that. And even one devotee, even one person, not devotee, one person knew who his parents were and gave the number to his parents. And so he found out who he was. What's ironic is, before he had this accident, he was a big atheist. He was a huge atheist, completely against the existence of God. So Krishna made him forget all that. And then he had him, Yantraud Hani Maya. He directed him to a devotee, and he became a wonderful devotee. Amazing, huh? Made him forget all that. And Prabhupada said the yoga system means real yoga. There's so many different types of yoga. But real yoga means to forget all the nonsense that we've gathered in this lifetime and fill ourselves with Krishna. That is real yoga. That's what we're trying to teach people. The real yoga system. Learning about Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, giving our life to Krishna, and forgetting all the nonsense that we've gathered in this lifetime and other lifetimes. Wonderful story, huh? So, I think that's it. Any question or comment from any of you? Yes, Prabhu.
Hello. Prabhuji, many times I saw myself, there is a lot of enthusiasm while marathon, but...
Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Okay.
But at the December month end, till 11 month, even I don't feel that I will able to distribute books.
Uh-huh.
And also I try sometime, but in marathon time, it is... Very distributed also.
Are you a full-time book distributor or are you a marathon book distributor?
No, I'm not full-time.
You distribute only during the marathon?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I suggest that you get on this monthly Sankirtan festival. I was speaking to Gauranga yesterday about this, and he wants to implement it here. He wants to get it going here. Once a month, all the devotees go out on book distribution. The congregation, the temple devotees. Now, you may not do much in 3 hours, but if you have a lot of people doing a little, it becomes a lot, right? So I highly encourage you, do this monthly Sankirtan festival, and if you can do more, that's all the better. All the better. Yeah. But that's one thing about book distribution. If you want to stay enthusiastic in book distribution, it's kind of hard if you're only going out 1 month of the year. That's hard. I mean, I have experience of devotees, full-time book distributors, going to the Mayapur festival for 3 weeks or a month and coming back and not having the same enthusiasm because they lose the momentum. You see? That's the nice thing about full-time book distribution. You keep the momentum day after day after day. And even the full-time book distributors, the best thing is even when they stop book distribution, they keep the same consciousness. Because you always have a certain consciousness on book distribution. So you retain, you keep that same consciousness. In other words, you're praying, Krishna, please help me to be an instrument in your hands. Please help me to help these conditioned souls. So you keep that praying. You keep that praying going. And then it just becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Then when you go out the next day, you still have that same consciousness going. When you're taking prasad, we should also pray to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, please help me to be an instrument in your hands to spread this Krishna consciousness. Pray to Sri Sri Gaur Nitai. Pray to Prabhupada, Nataji. So, okay? Yes. Put it onto your mouth.
How do we handle rejection?
How do we handle rejection? One of the most difficult things, yeah? To tolerate rejection. Well, you should consider it like this. If everybody were to say yes and take a book, where would the austerity be? Huh? Where would the purification be? So to accept rejection is purification. It's a blessing in disguise because it helps us to understand I'm not in control. I'm small. Krishna's great. Krishna lets us know who's in control. He's in control. And we just, when we get rejection, no problem. We be very kind to them and we continue praying. Yeah? It's Krishna's mercy. Whatever happens is Krishna's mercy. That's how to accept rejection. Whether they say yes or whether they say no, it's Krishna's mercy. Yeah? Because the person that says no is helping us develop tolerance. Right? Because if everybody says yes, how can we be tolerant? So the people that are saying no, they're helping us develop tolerance. So it's a blessing. Those people are a blessing to our spiritual life. People that take a book and give a donation, that's also a blessing. That's very nice. Okay?
Prabhuji, in foreign countries, because we don't have mentioned the price of the book, so it is a donation or there is some fixed price of the book in foreign countries?
Ah, the donation part. Ah, the fun part. Eh? How much? What is it? How do they say? Ketna, how much? Well, like I said, when you distribute books, Lakshmi becomes a treasure. Krishna is no poor man. So, of course, India is a third world country. People don't have much money. So therefore, I believe a lot of devotees distribute small books. Yeah, so that makes it easier for them. Not difficult. Also carry some big books and find out what the price is. And just tell them this is what it cost us to print. And you have to find out. The price is not on the book. You find out from the Sangaton leader how much this is, how much we should get. And just tell them this is what it cost us to print. And if they take, very nice. If they don't, no problem. Yeah. So, like that.
Do that in foreign countries. They give any donations or you have to say them the minimum price, minimum cost of the book is this much or whatever they pay you, we have to accept that.
Well, if they give something but they don't give enough for the book, let them have it anyway. That's why you have small books, because you don't lose much. And then Krishna arranges someone else gives more. Isn't it? That always happens. Someone else gives more. So don't worry about it. If someone gets a donation, they always get a book. Don't worry.
And if somebody wants books which we don't have, they have something in their mind that we want a particular book, do you have? So what way we should face that situation?
You can either direct them in a place where they can get the book, at the temple or wherever, or if you don't have the particular book they want, you could direct them to a website. There's websites here in India where you can purchase books. So that's another thing. Whenever I distribute books, I give them also a website.
Written by Prabhupada or ISKCON books, they want some other books.
No.
And they ask us whether you have that book or not.
No. We give them direction on how to get Prabhupada's books. Because all these other books, only Krishna knows where they're going to go. Most likely they're going to go the wrong direction because practically everybody is teaching Mayavad. Prabhupada was the only one that didn't teach Mayavad practically. All the yogis, when
that we have only books written by Prabhupada, and these are ISKCON books. If you want to purchase, you can take.
Yeah.
Hello. Hare Krishna Prabhu. I decided Dombivli, which is like 2 hours far from here. So many times, every year we distribute books over there. And couple of times what we face is, a person is rejecting book. But not only that, but many times they give like, you know, Krishna is not the supreme and he is the incarnation of Vishnu. Give us long, long theses and theories about it. And end of the day, you know, he says that the Prabhupada didn't know the perfect thing. So it hurts when, you know, someone is not taking a book is one story, that's okay. But then when someone says, you know, Krishna is not right, your Prabhupada is not right, he don't know the perfect thing, Vishnu is the higher and blah, 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 blah things. When they, you know, abuse or little bit negative about Krishna, about Prabhupada, it hurts more. So how to deal with it? Okay, ego is, we are getting purified and I accept it. But when someone tells anything to Prabhupada, when someone tells anything to Krishna, you know, though something goes up, the ego goes up. I don't know, it's ego or something.
No, but anger, you know, should come up, not ego, anger.
Yes, I am.
So what you do is you leave immediately. You leave immediately. If someone blasphemes Krishna or Prabhupada, you just leave. Okay, goodbye. Quickly. Don't have any discussion, just go. Don't waste any time. Useless. Yeah. Just like it said, if someone blasphemes Krishna, three things. Choice of three things. You cut out his tongue. Yeah. So we can't do that. That'll get bad PR. Hare Krishnas are cutting out people's tongues. I can see it in the front page. Yeah. You give up your own life. That's two. Or you leave. So of the three, better just leave. Immediately. No small talk. Just go. Because they're nonsense. They're in Maya. Blaspheme. Okay? Immediately. Quickly. Go. Yes, Matati. We need the microphone over to her.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Actually, this
not
time...
Hare
Krishna Prabhuji. This time when we were distributing books on Parel railway station, we came across even Muslims and Christians were coming to, they were coming with their books and they were literally pushing us, like they were trying to tell us about their philosophy and they were just not moving out, like they were just giving their books. So in such situations, what should we do? Like,
better go to another place. Just leave. If someone's, you know, trying to preach to you, that's the thing, especially with Christians, don't waste time. Because they're going to try to convince you and you're going to argue with them. And what happens is you lose all your enthusiasm to distribute books. Don't waste time arguing with Christians or atheists or Muslims. If they're submissive and they want to take a book, fine. You know, but it doesn't take much time to find out that these people are just wasting my time. Time is very valuable. Don't waste it. Yeah. Okay? Okay, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.